Welcome to the Subtle Reformation Podcast. We're so glad that you can join us. I'm one of the hosts, Ben.
And I'm Stephen. And we're really glad that you've joined us to listen to us muse about formation and what it means for who and how we can be in this world.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the Subtle Reformation. We hope you've had a fantastic week. We're jumping in today with what we have described off air beforehand as our intermission episode. We've come together and we've been talking about how we've been going with our contemplation journey, and we actually felt like maybe this week is a week to just stop and unpack what's been going on. And you'll hear a little bit from each of us about that. And this morning we have Stephen, myself, and Julia. Tom isn't with us today. But Stephen, let me throw it over to you and just help us unpack a little bit about this intermission and what we're reflecting a little bit on today together.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, look, it's funny, I tell stories now and I realize, geez, I'm that old fella who says, when I was a boy, I'm getting older, but I was just sharing before we started recording about this this thing called an intermission when I went to the movies as a kid. Halfway through the movie, they'd put the words, like the movie would stop and then they'd put the word intermission. The lights would come up and people would sort of stand up and stretch their legs and mill around. They might go to the toilet, they might grab some more food and drink. And it was a 5 to 10 minute break. And then the movie would recommence after that. And I thought it was just a really lovely time in the world when people acknowledged, you know, watching a movie, particularly an emotionally demanding one, can make you a bit tired and you might need a bit of a break. And it also made me think about, I'm not sure if this is actual Catholic doctrine or whether it was just our local priest who did this growing up, but during Lent, we would get one day a week off. So you couldn't eat chocolate. You couldn't eat meat. That's how old I am. There's a whole bunch of things you couldn't eat or couldn't do. But once a week, you kind of had the day off. It's like, look, fasting's hard. Let's just take a day off.
Yeah.
and as I'm saying these things, as I was thinking about our conversation just before we started recording, I'm thinking about that episode in season one where we talked about just this demand for productivity, just this demand to be machine-like rather than organic and tree-like, for the want of a better word. And we talked about Psalm 1, the blessing is a tree that produces fruit in season. It's not expected to produce fruit all of the time.
Yeah.
We were sort of chatting. Well, we were kind of having a little bit of a laugh at Tom because Tom's sent us a message just before midnight saying, I'm not sure if I can make it tomorrow because I'm working on an assignment. And we were kind of having a bit of a laugh at Tom's expense. And we thought, well, maybe he's the most honest amongst us.
Yeah.
Because all of us in different ways have been struggling with trying to maintain a contemplative life and have been finding it difficult. So we thought, rather than doing the show must go on, let's put on a positive face and, just lie, really, about the fact that we're doing it and we're doing well. Let's be honest and say trying to live a contemplative life is really hard work. I know for myself, I've got some great excuses, Ben. I've got two fantastic contracts that start next week. I'm really excited about some of the work that I'm doing, but it's hard to be contemplative. My excuse is not that I've got a lot on. My excuse is I've got some really exciting things that I'm looking forward to, and all of the stuff you like to do before you start.
Yeah.
You know, ordering new pens. I'm holding up my pen. So
ooh, nice. Show.
Look, and it comes in a pack of three. You know.
Oh yeah, they're nice.
Yeah, and ordering all of the bits and pieces you do, you forget. Well, I forget about doing contemplation. So that's been my challenge. And life. We're still in lockdown. We're coming out of lockdown in the state, in the city in which we live. we don't have a curfew anymore, which is really nice. It's been really hard, and trying to deliberately and intentionally put one contemplative foot in front of the other and keep going. It's hard work.
It is.
How about you guys, Julia, Ben? How are you guys going?
Yeah, I think kind of what you said, Stephen, is kind of it. I felt like today it would have been one of those weeks where I was saying beforehand, while I was better than I was last week in terms of like being able to find time for it, but it felt like I was mailing it in, you know, like just kind of talking in platitudes and trying to make it sound like I'd really engaged when the reality was I'd maybe done it twice or three times in the last, you know, seven or nine days. And one of my reflections was that even just doing it a couple of times meant it was, I lived a better, more aware, more at peace with myself life over those 7 or 9 days, even though I didn't do it every single day. I wouldn't have felt like I'd really engaged wholeheartedly with what the process was for the last week. But it was an interesting takeaway to be like, actually, I've only done it two or three times, and yet I am more aware on the days that I haven't done it. I am more, I'm carrying this greater sense of just peace and acceptance and I guess quiet confidence within myself because I've just come to terms with who I am and what I'm going through. So yeah, that was an interesting reflection, but yeah, definitely didn't feel like I'd been 100% nailing it. Which was interesting coming on this morning, being like, I don't want to be that guy who's like, I don't have anything to say because I didn't do it. But yeah, that was kind of my reflection on the last few days.
Because I think it's so challenging because, as you've mentioned, the times where you do engage in contemplation and living contemplatively, it's an experience of, I'm trying to think of a superlative to put in front of it, but I can't. It's freedom. We are actually free. We're liberated.
Yeah.
And we're free and we're liberated from the shoulds and the oughts and the expectations. And turning up this morning and just pretending that we weren't struggling is just creating another level of imprisonment. But it's terrible because it's a level of imprisonment about something that I think, well, not something, the only thing that can really lead to freedom. So it's sort of turning true freedom into another kind of, bondage and enslavement.
Yeah. No, it's good.
How about you, Julia? Just listening to Ben and I talk about how rubbish we've been at doing this stuff.
Makes me feel a whole lot better.
Go on, do tell.
Much better to, it's so much better to be honest. I mean, honest to God, but honest to others. And that's why I actually really appreciate this because I actually feel like it's one of the spaces where I can turn up and just go, you know, here's how it is. I actually found myself wanting to come up with some stuff so that I had something to share. It's actually would be completely made up. But I just, it's funny how you find yourself wanting to do that because you're like, I have to turn up and I have to have something good to say. So firstly, the God honest truth is that I probably engaged in this about once, maybe twice. I must say that I did find that our last week's, well, I think it was you, Stephen, talking about befriending, you know, sort of, you know, you were giving a bit of a caution around that, but just, you know, noticing the patterns and befriending these anxious, fearful, or whatever kind of patterns because they've served a purpose or a function. that actually was really helpful for me. That was probably that day and the next day, I spent quite a bit of time, you know, just really reflecting back over the week prior to that. So we're talking about 2 weeks ago, because it had been, I think we talked last week about, I literally was exhausted from my you know, being aware, more aware of this stuff, because it, honestly, I mean, a personality type, obviously we're all unique, but as a 7 in the Enneagram too, I just want to, you know, put it out there to my 7 buddies. This is really hard work for us. We will run a mile from it. We don't want to stick with it. We don't want to, we don't reflect often. I mean, we do, but it's really hard work. It's hard work to get in touch with how you're feeling, how your body's feeling, what really is happening, you know, behind the scenes. So I think I just exhausted myself but I think just the ability to, you know that's why this space, and I hope that the listeners, they have someone or some space where they too can just come and you know, this is not about a regimented, you know, ritualistic thing that becomes a burden on you. It's and so I think we need to be able to say when we didn't really engage in it. I've got great excuses too. I am moving on Monday, moving house. So, you know, I've got
not great just moving house, but moving house in isolation.
Yeah, moving house in isolation. And you know, to be honest, I mean, I think all of the accumulative stuff of 2020 it's just been so, I feel like it was a bit of an intermittent week, an interval week for me to just go, you know, just take the pressure off yourself for a bit. But I certainly was, what was really helpful was that, you know, being able to start to look at, you know, where these patterns have come from. So I guess one thing I started reflecting on was that, you know, a lot of my kind of wanting to really guard my heart and sort of have a bit of a protection plan around, if this doesn't work out, well, I've got a plan B or C kind of up my sleeve, is just that, you know, that feeling of, there's been a few times in my life where I've felt like I was not in a position of power, or, you know, other things got done to me. Not, you know, not because I know people have had awful things happen in their life. I've, you know, not experienced that, but just enough kind of hard knocks to want to then next time around go, okay, I'm going to be on the front foot this time. I'm going to, and so it's a protection mode. And so I think just being able to start noticing that protective person within me, you know, does serve a legitimate purpose. Like they're there defending or protecting for reasons. So yeah, it's amazing to just start to, you know, work through a bit of that.
Yeah, that's good.
Or if we can quote Peter Bentley, starting to see the influences within and without. So I think when I first started exploring faith seriously as a young adult, I spent quite a bit of time in a Pentecostal context. And I remember hearing a message about Elisha from, I think it was, it was 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament, the story about Elisha and Elisha encountering this fella who was chopping wood and the axe head fell off the axe. Into the water, and the guy was freaking out because axes were expensive. And the fellow preaching this, oh, I've got no idea if this is exegetically good at all. Part of me thinks this is really poor exegesis, but it works. It works for me. The young fellow's distressed and he speaks to Elisha, "Elisha, can you help me?" And Elisha says to him, "Where was the last time you saw the axe head?" And it's interesting how these things work their way into culture and people don't realize they come from stories in the Old Testament. Where was the last place you saw it? Go back to the last place where you saw it. And he does, and you know, the axe head magically floats to the surface and off he goes. And the fellow who was preaching this message said, go back to the last time you kind of experienced it, the last time you saw it working. Now, again, I've never actually gone back and done some proper exegesis on that passage as an adult, but this kind of works for me. Where did the wheels fall off? When did it stop working? Let's just pause. Let's just take a deep breath and say, okay, it's not panning out exactly as I had planned. Let's reset. Let's start again. And there's also this thing we do in our family when things get a bit tense, when there's been some yelling, when there's been some fighting. We have this practice where we say, and anyone in our family can do this. I'm part of a family of five. Anyone can say, should we hit the reset button? And whoever says that, if you get consensus from everybody else, or if it's just, you know, two or three people fighting, if you get consensus, the person who suggested that, they actually put out their hand, they physically put out their hand, and the other people, the other parties, they actually press this imaginary button in the hand of the person who's holding their hand out, and you hit the reset button, and you're consciously saying, I'm choosing to let go of the anger, the frustration, the nasty things I've said, the nasty things I've done, and I'm going to start again. It's a great practice. My partner actually introduced it to us, the reset button. But the other thought, and I mentioned this again in our chat at the beginning prior to recording, I can't remember where I read this. And to be honest, I can't remember whether I saw this interaction between people or whether I read it. It's somewhere in my imagination. But this idea that, oh man, I turned up, I had a go, I did it all wrong, I've just made a hash of it, and the person listening to the attempted practitioner talking about all of the reasons why they failed, smiling this incredibly generous and warm smile, saying, but you tried. You had a crack, and that's actually what counts. It's not what happened after you tried. It's the fact that you gave it a go. And I think of something, I hesitate to say Mother Teresa because some people think she's awesome. Other people don't think she's awesome for all sorts of reasons. But I remember hearing her say, God calls us to be faithful. He doesn't call us to be successful. So if somewhere along the way you became a listener and you felt a sense that you needed to give yourself to this process and you gave yourself to the process, that's success. It's not what happened after you gave yourself to the process. It's the fact that you recognized that something needed to be different and you've tried.
That's
what counts. So this is our intermission episode. We're pausing, we're acknowledging that some incredibly positive things have happened, but we're also acknowledging that it's quite hard. It's quite hard to deliberately live a contemplative life. And maybe, just maybe, as I quote Jesus, and I quote the words of Jesus that we may have heard before, maybe we'll hear them with new ears this morning, when he says the road to destruction is broad and many take it, but the way to life, you've got to enter through a narrow gate and the path is really difficult. Maybe our experiences, particularly this week, the days and the weeks leading up to this week, maybe that's what he was on about, living a deliberate and a contemplative life. It's hard work. And then, of course, that favourite verse of mine that I often quote from Hebrews chapter 4, we must strive to enter the rest. We've got to work really, really hard to realise it's not about working really, really hard. We've got to do all that we can to focus upon the fact that the love that we receive is without condition. We've got to work really hard to realize that we don't need to work really hard. So if you've struggled like me, if you've struggled like us, let's stick the hand out and everyone can press the reset button. Oh, it's beautiful. Everyone's doing it on Zoom. We're hitting the reset button. And we're mindful of the beautiful and the gracious ways in which God has come to us in this process. Sometimes because of what we've done, at other times in spite of what we've done. And we remind ourselves, this is not our effort. This is a work of a gracious God.
Yeah.
Which ironically, because we got a question via Anchor last week, somebody asking, how does this help us connect with God? Maybe when we reach the end of our efforts and we look at all of our attempts to try and reach out and we go, oh, I can't do it. Maybe that's how God comes to us. Maybe he comes to us as, I think it was Richard Rohr said, he comes to us disguised as our lives. I've got to get off the soapbox, guys. I've got to stop talking. And
that's been good. It's been good.
Do you guys want to respond and wind it up for us?
No, I think the only thing I would add is just that kind of reflection of my experience in all of this. Like you said, it's just doing it that matters. Even if you're like, oh, I didn't do it every single day of the week. If you just showed up once, twice, like you still did it, still makes a difference. Mm. So I think that's been something I've gotten out of this. I felt a little bit guilty about my experience, but having heard what you've said, it's made me go, okay, like I did it. I showed up twice, but I showed up nonetheless. And so that matters. But yeah, just hopefully it can be an encouragement to people being involved in this, not beating themselves up, not feeling like a failure.
And even, you know, even though, I mean, it's someone like myself is probably more prone to hiding rather than showing up. Like, you know, the tendency to want to kind of run away from it and just, you know, if I can hide, then God and I don't need to have conversation or whatever, because I always think it's going to be more in the condemnation rather than the, you know, the love. But I, you know, I think right back to Genesis when, you know, God was found the first people and said, why are you hiding? You know, it's that. I think for me, this last week's been just knowing that I don't need to hide, that I, you know, that this is, yeah, that I think that God's response often is going to be something like the world, the conditional sort of, you know, stuff. And I guess also, unfortunately, because we've had a tendency in, even in, you know, faith communities to do a bit of this too. We've got to really work hard, as Stephen said, at really being able to know that it's okay to, I mean, the main thing is to keep showing up, to keep being present to God and to others. And but yeah, I think just knowing, you know, as we're talking, that I mean, even me showing up on this, because I could have literally, in fact, I was contemplating it, saying, oh, look, actually, I'm really not able to be here on this, doing this. But, you know, even just showing up for this is enough. And knowing that I don't need to have a smart, clever, you know, really sophisticated answer or something. Yeah. I don't know, some craziness that goes through your mind about it. And I guess because that again is part of the pressure. Like I've been in places where, you know, there's some really clever intellectual people who get together, and everyone kind of, it's almost like one-upmanship, you know, you say this and then someone else has something far deeper and more profound to say. And then the joker in me in the seven wants to sort of, you know, crash in with some comic relief just to sort of break the intensity of, come on, guys, this is... Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with that, but I guess not hiding, like, yes, Ben, absolutely, just, you know, being able to do it or engage in it, you know, once or whatever. But I think equally not hiding, you know, when we're like this, when, and this is a regular thing, like I am the first to say that I love formation, but, you know,
I hate formation.
And what I love is intimacy with God. That's probably much more the, but just to not hide, you know, and it's been a pattern in my life of hiding. When I feel like I've got to show up and be vulnerable and it's going to make me look like an idiot, or I'm the one who let the team down or whatever, I will run away. I won't show up. That's why even actually being here this morning is kind of, you know, as a seven saying, hey, you know, I don't need to have it all together. I don't need to pretend. I don't need to come up with some nice answer that's a load of BS. I just need to be here and not hide.
I remember hearing somebody say that all churches should abolish their constitutions and adopt as their constitution the constitution of an Alcoholics Anonymous group.
Definitely.
And the way in which an AA group begins is the person facilitating the group says, hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm an addict. And everybody else says, so, you know, I'd say, hi, my name is Stephen and I'm an addict. And everybody responds with, hi, Stephen. And implied in that, hi, Stephen, is, hi, Stephen, we too are addicts. And that's the starting point. We're all addicts. We all are addicted to our ways of being, our ways of thinking, our ways of coping. And we're all addicted to hiding that from others. So starting with that acknowledgement, now we can proceed.
Good.
So thanks for joining us, everybody, today. Wouldn't it be funny if we're the only ones who struggled, Ben? Wouldn't it be funny if all of the listeners are like, what the hell? We were expecting.
Yeah. What do you mean you guys are struggling with it? This is easy.
So big breath in, everyone, and a big breath out. And hitting the reset button.
Let's press the reset button.
And for us, for the three of us this morning, it's been last week's work, which is at the beginning or at the end of each, reflecting on the previous day and looking for patterns.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. But if you fell off the wagon earlier on in the process, just start again wherever you are. Just what was the last thing that you were doing consistently, and just pick up from there. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, if you think that you're a week behind, if you think you're 2 weeks behind, you're actually exactly where you need to be. Just pick up where you left off and keep going. Have another crack and see what happens.
Yeah. But other than that, we want to thank you again for listening and joining us. And don't forget, you can continue to reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, email, or via the Anchor app. We'd love to connect with you guys and hear how you're going. Hear your stories of contemplation during this season. But other than that, we'd love for you to have a fantastic week. And we'll see you next Wednesday on the podcast. See you then.